Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into another episode of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, and today we have some training camp news to talk about. All the teams are back. Football season is back. There is so much going on in the news that we just have to get to the most important things. And here to help me do that, returning from his sabbatical, is one Mr. Tyler O. How are you doing, buddy? We missed you here on the show.
Dude, thrilled to be back. Had some real-life work stuff going on. While I do love my job here at FTN, I do hold down a day job, and that day job sent me to Miami to a beach resort for a sales summit for the week, so couldn't attend as I had evening activities planned, but thrilled to be back on the pod, thrilled to be talking about football. There's a lot to talk about, so I'm not going to take up too much time.
Absolutely. There is just so much stuff in the news. And, you know, some of the stuff, you know, you may have already heard some different takes about it. You may have read about some of these things in our boss, Jeff Ratcliffe's daily dive that he does on FTN.com. So if you were ever trying to keep up with training camp news, you don't really know where to find all that stuff, we have that covered for you on the website. So always go there. Always check that every day. But we're going to go through just some of the bigger stories that have happened since the last time that we spoke. And we will start by talking about a big kind of, I don't know, it's not like a new injury concern. This is, I guess, a storyline that's been progressing ever since minicamp. Houston Texans running back Joe Mixon has been spotted as far back as, I want to say, June, walking around in a walking boot. Now he is just out indefinitely with whatever, you know, foot and or ankle injury it is. There is still some ambiguity as to what this ailment in particular is, but as long as he's not there, the Houston Texans are down one of the best running backs of the past several years, a guy that has been an incredible talent every time he's been healthy, somebody that has won a lot of people fantasy championships. I have some thoughts and some research that I did for Joe Mixon in a Fantasy Faceoff article that it's a series that I do for the site. I plugged it on here before. Before I get into that, I just want to get your general thoughts. Seeing this news, do you care about anybody else in the Texans backfield? Because I don't know. Nick Chubb is the name that kind of pops out first. The veteran signing, picked him up, you know, a couple months ago. He's been in there. He's been getting some reps in, I'm sure, learning the playbook. And then there's also the rookie Woody Marks out of USC, more of a pass catcher type guy. But those are mostly the names for those, you know, who don't know, that we're probably going to be focusing on now that Mixon is out of the equation. Tyler, is anything outside of Joe Mixon intriguing to you in this backfield?
I feel like we got to start paying a little bit more attention to Woody Marks, right? He's not necessarily a guy who I was necessarily high on as a prospect, but just considering what we're looking at here, to kind of give you a rundown of what the Texans are looking at here at the end of July, looks like Mixon, decent injury, signs point towards him missing some time. Damien Pierce, who's, you know, been, I think he's a solid backup. He's on the PUP. While the PUP list in the offseason here is not that big of a deal, you can be reactivated whenever you want. Still a little bit of a flag where I'm like, this is something we need to be concerned about. He's not practicing right now. And we all know about Chubb coming off a pretty major injury. So right now, like, to me, it feels like Woody Marks as a rookie is likely taking snaps with the ones. And for a rookie to be able to get those kind of snaps in the offseason here, it at least is drawing my attention where, like, yeah, you know, if you have like a shallow 10-man redraft league, probably not looking his way. But say it's 12-man league, you might have like 8 bench spots, 7 bench spots. Certainly looking to stash him there. We're always trying to stash handcuff running backs. It's just good practice in football to be doing that, particularly in redraft when you kind of have to pick and choose what your bench looks like. So for me, it is. I'm more interested in Woody Marks late. I'm moving him up to a spot. You know, this isn't a best ball podcast, but in my best ball ranks, he's now in a spot where I can grab him in the last couple rounds. Some of the deeper leagues that I play in, he is certainly there as somebody that I'm more than happy to click on. Do I think this backfield works itself out? Certainly. I think we'll have a lot more answers as, you know, the full season or the regular season comes along. But yeah, Woody Marks is more on my radar this week than he was, let's say, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, between Chubb and Marks, Marks is definitely the name that I am a little bit more excited about. I'll start by talking about why I am intrigued by Mr. Marks, and then we'll talk about some of the reasons why I maybe don't really care too much about Nick Chubb, or, you know, maybe Mixon by the time he comes back even. So, you know, we'll start with the fact that the Texans have a new offensive coordinator named Nick Caley. He was a part of the New England Patriots coaching staff from 2015 through 2022 in various different roles, but primarily serving under Josh McDaniels. Anybody who has followed football long enough knows who Josh McDaniels is. We're pretty familiar with how the New England offense ran for a decent amount of time. And one of the things that is a particularly interesting hallmark of those Patriots backfields is the guy akin to a James White, you know, the pass catcher type that they have out of the backfield. Assuming that that is going to carry over and be part of, you know, Caley's sort of calling card and what he does here in Houston, Marks does make the most sense of anybody in this backfield, even prior to Mixon going down, being this type of guy. Now, you know, going through the rookie scouting process, one of the things that, you know, you point out, if you look at Woody Marks's, you know, stats from college, he averaged about 52 catches a year out of the backfield. That is just, that's what he does. It's one of the things he is particularly good at. I think if he is able to carve out a role, and assuming that that sort of role exists within this offense, we could get a decent amount of PPR value out of that. I think his ADP is still like so late to the point that like he's barely even on the radar now. So it's going to be a pretty cheap investment to make for sure. That is a name that I think anybody could be pretty stoked about, pretty excited about looking forward to. The reason I'm not particularly interested in somebody like Nick Chubb, or honestly, even Joe Mixon that much by the time he comes back, if he comes back, is because the Houston Texans, their offensive line had a massive makeover. It is something that we talk about a lot in terms of what this offense is going to be like for CJ Stroud. Now that Laramie Tunsil is gone, he has been traded to the Washington Commanders. You know, that pass blocking is going to have to be anchored by somebody else. They signed some veterans, they drafted a few players, but it's still a lot of new faces. And it's not just the pass blocking that I would be concerned about, because the run blocking wasn't particularly great last year either. Now, one of the really fun things that we have on FTNFantasy.com is stats related to offensive line play and things related to how successful a rushing offense is. And one of the pages on the website that explains, you know, how a lot of these metrics work reads as follows. A team with a low ranking in adjusted line yards, but a high ranking in open field yards is heavily dependent on its running back breaking long runs to make the running game work. Keep that in mind, because the next two numbers that you're going to hear are going to highlight just how much Joe Mixon really had to create for himself in this backfield last year. The Houston Texans ranked 24th in adjusted line yards and 4th in open field yards last year. This is a team that already did such a bad job and asked the individual runner to go out there and make his own bread that, like, I don't know, is completely redoing this entire unit going to be the thing that just kind of solves this right away? I don't know. We haven't seen the preseason action yet. Obviously, there's plenty of time for these questions to be answered, but that's my big thing. I was a little bit worried about this backfield from a fantasy perspective anyway, just based off of the, is there going to be enough efficacy from the blocking in front of them for it to be interesting? I don't think that that is necessarily something that we were guaranteed anyway. And now that the guy that we were more interested in is out of the picture, like, Nick Chubb's old. Like you were saying, he's coming off this major injury. Like, if you're going to take a shot on this backfield, I think it's Marks, and I think that's it. I've really, you know, all of that. Is there anything that you kind of glean from that and say, maybe this changed my perspective a little bit, anything at all?
Yeah, it's really tough for me, because I'll be the first to tell you, man, like, I've been a huge Mixon fan. I've been drafting him ad nauseum for years, and every single year it's paid off. Like, obviously, the way I always say it, besides this rookie year, if you've been drafting Joe Mixon, he has been winning for you. Well, he did get hurt in the 2020 season. You weren't starting him, right? He was hurt. He wasn't starting. He didn't do bad. Like, the benefit of when you draft a player and he gets hurt, you don't have to play this guessing game of, ooh, do I start him or not? Is he good or not? When Mixon's healthy, when Mixon's playing, he is a top 12 running back, bona fide. Been that way for years. I've been drafting him every single year for the last 5 years, and it has paid off a lot. And I was planning on drafting him this year as well. I was like, I'm all the way back in. The price makes sense. But you got to pay attention to the stuff you're talking about, where he's 29, he's getting older. The offensive line, there is some question marks there. And how many more years can he hold up? If he was healthy, I'd probably be taking another swing. I'd probably be looking to continue to be adding Mixon. But it does give me pause. I think there's a world, Herms, where Mixon does, you know, if his cost drops, let's say he falls into the 90s or the 100s and he starts going super late, I'll continue to take those shots to just say, hey, it's worth a shot here. I know what he can do when he's healthy. But yeah, I'm concerned. It doesn't make me feel good. As of right now, I think the whole backfield is a pretty large void just because we named four players. If I can name four players in a running back room, it's already a flag because we don't know what's going to happen. And yeah, you do sometimes want to target ambiguous backfields. I get that. But at the same time, as of right now, sitting here at the end of July, man, I'll be taking Woody Marks late, and unless Mixon's price falls, it's a pretty big avoid for me.
I feel you, man. I think we are definitely in lockstep on this one. And hey, listeners, if you are interested in some of those statistics that I was able to pull up for everybody, you can find all of that stuff on FTNFantasy.com. But you do have to have a subscription. You do have to get behind the paywall to find that information. And boy, do we have a deal for you. If you are a listener of the Crossing Routes podcast, you can go sign up for an annual subscription and use promo code CROSSING to get 10% off of your FTN subscription. That is code CROSSING, all caps, the first word of this show, for 10% off of an annual subscription. Get the information, get armed with knowledge, and get better at playing fantasy football. We have a couple other topics that we're going to talk about, but we have to throw it over for a commercial break real quick. Don't go anywhere. And we are back. This is still the Crossing Routes podcast. This is still Herms. This is still Tyler O. And we are still catching everybody up on some news that has been going on around the NFL. There was a quote from Mike Reese over at ESPN in an article published talking about Patriots training camp. Just a few of the things that are going on around New England. Interesting things, including this note about Drake May not really wanting to be as much of a runner this year. This is something that he has specifically noted, and there's a fun quote to go along with it. Remaining a passer longer when I scramble, I think that's big. I feel like I had times last year where I had some guys deep that I may have missed them or took off running instead. Now, one of the things that we've been so excited about when talking about Drake May throughout the history of this podcast is the fact that he has really good arm talent. We're kind of excited about the fact that the Patriots are building out this interesting receiving core around him with the addition of Stephon Diggs, and he runs. That was like the whole upside case is predicated around the fact that he adds these points with his legs. But the fact that we are already hearing straight out the gate in summer that this is a guy who's not really interested in doing that, I don't know about you. You'll have some time to expand upon it, obviously, once I throw it over to you. But just for me, I will say I'm kind of out. Like, if this is really, if he himself is telling us, yo, I really don't want to be scrambling that much anymore, there are other quarterbacks in these double-digit later rounds of drafts that can offer probably slightly higher upside and also run. So for me, I am a little bit less interested in Drake May now with this information. Does this quote or this sort of preference from him sway you in any sort of new direction?
You know, I've never been one for quotes or coach speak or player speak in the offseason. I always like to form my opinions throughout the offseason. And just because, you know, a player says something or a coach says something or there's a nice highlight of some guy torching the third team, I try not to let it impact me. So I'm still in. It's not affecting me whatsoever. And I think it's that old, the old adage, like everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? Drake May would love to just sit back there in the pocket and take the passes and not have to run. But that's not always the reality when you have a 280-pound defensive end running at you with 4 or 5 speed and you do have to take off and run. So it's noted, I guess, but I'm still in on Drake May. I'm still taking him where he's at. I still have him ranked in the top 12. I'm still pretty comfortable taking him late in one QB leagues as my only quarterback. Sure, you know, if things go south here and he actually does not run as much, you know, I can always go and stream if I absolutely need to. But I'm still all the way in on Drake May. I'm not really sweating too much the quote here. I'm sure as a quarterback who plays the quarterback position, he would like to throw more, get more yards, throw for more touchdowns. But we'll have to see how things play out. I'm not letting the quote affect me that much. I'm staying strong on my Drake May take, and will continue to be drafted him as a top 12 quarterback and believe he will finish there.
You know, and you make a good point, something that I probably should have considered a little bit more heavily. You know, everybody does have a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And I'll tell you what, the New England Patriots offensive line made that. they let Drake May get punched in the mouth, proverbially speaking, quite a bit. This team surrendered 52 sacks last year, which by my count, according to our data, is the fourth highest amount in the NFL last year. I know that they've made some, you know, sort of like smaller adjustments to it, but like it's still largely a unit that is, you know, devoid of sort of, you know, robust blocking talent. That is still going to be a reality for him. So I do think, yeah, you're probably right. We are still going to see maybe like less intentional running, but there's still going to be plenty of opportunities for scrambles. Of course, he's still going to have to evade enough pressure. Yeah, you know, maybe I will take some of my thoughts back to the drawing board. Maybe I did go a little bit overboard, but hey, you know, that's why we're in July. That's why we talk about these things. That's why we go through and discuss some of these topics. Now, something that we really like to do and celebrate on this show is whenever people get their big paydays. We love it. We love to see it. Everybody go out there, get your bread if you deserve it. And Broncos wide receiver Courtland Sutton, have yourself a day. Agreeing to a 4-year, $92 million extension with his team to stick around, to be the number one guy for Bo Nix in this offense. Do you have any thoughts on the Courtland Sutton extension? Does it make you, you know, change any sort of, you know, values of his, whether in redraft or dynasty, or does it really not change anything for you at all?
He had already been a guy that I was targeting a bit, a guy that I was looking to get in dynasty. Probably not looking to acquire in dynasty now as the price went up. I feel like whenever a player, especially like, you know, a good to great player gets a contract, the price always goes up. I mean, I was able to get him for like, I believe a 202 in the rookie draft. I felt pretty good about that. I bet that window's closed by now. You know, he was wide receiver 13 last season, ADP wide receiver 24. I really love getting him as kind of like a later wide receiver two, sometimes my wide receiver three. I'm all the way in on it. I really think that while his career was a little bit up and down, more down than up prior to Bo Nix coming to town, this offense is stabilized and this offense is trending up. I have on multiple occasions talked about how I'm in on Bo Nix after being out on him. And I think I feel the same way about Courtland Sutton. He's a guy that we need to be targeting. He's a guy that we need to be prioritizing. I think he certainly has top 12 upside, and at wide receiver 24 prices, if he plays a full season, Bo Nix plays a full season, I truly believe that's his floor. To me, he is a steady, locked and loaded wide receiver two in fantasy, and I'll continue to treat him that way. This is good. This is just great to see. I believe he is the wide receiver one there. There's, you know, a couple complimentary pieces. We do have Ingram in town. They're trying to kind of sort out what their wide receiver two looks like, but he offers such a steady presence for Bo Nix going into year two, and it's proven that he can be a fantasy contributor. Man, I was in. Now I'm even more in. We continue to draft Courtland Sutton with conviction.
100%, dude. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where maybe when you first think about Courtland Sutton, it's like, oh, well, you know, the Broncos, like, they were pretty good. They were better than I thought they would be. But I don't know how, you know, I don't know how explosive this offense is going to be, per se. But, like, if you believe in Bo Nix, you have to believe in his lead target. And this is somebody that we have seen him do this repeatedly. We have seen multiple seasons from Courtland Sutton in which he has like vastly outperformed, not just expectations for him, but just the expectations of the environment that he has been in for so long. It works. Courtland Sutton just works. And there are some players like this that just get disrespected to the point that they're always going to be a good value. So I'm completely with you. Courtland Sutton is somebody that I am looking forward to getting on a lot of my teams as well. The only thing that I would kind of spin as an interesting angle for all of this is the fact that, you know, we look at this contract and the size of the deal that he was able to secure. I want to say Courtland Sutton also coming up on 30 years old, if I recall. Yeah, 29, he will turn 30 years old in October. There's another veteran receiver out in the football world looking for a big contract extension. That's Terry McLaurin. I think, you know, with this contract getting signed, if I'm McLaurin and I'm, you know, talking to my agent, I'm like, hey, see what just happened over there? I want that. I want something like that. So I'm just throwing that out there because that's another big story that people have been, you know, kind of following. It's a whole situation. We will continue to update everybody if something changes there as well, because, you know, who knows? If something goes down with Terry McLaurin, you're going to have to know about it. I believe that's going to be all the time we have for today's episode, but just one more thing I'm going to throw out there, just because I know it's you and me, it's something that we're pretty hyped about.
Jackson Dart allegedly has looked like a, quote, different quarterback ever since Sunday. He's coming in. He's doing the thing, man. I don't know. Just, I really hope Jackson Dart wins this job outright. I think it would be so fun. I don't have any fantasy takes for this. I'm just rooting for it. I saw that. I thought of you. I thought about how exciting this was. Just shout out Jackson Dart. If you want to say anything.
I if you've listened to any of our podcasts or read anything I've written, you know how much I love Jackson Dart. And I think he said the game is slowing down for him. I'm not surprised. The guy's a stud. He's the best quarterback in the class. Draft Jackson Dart.
Yes, everybody out there, draft Jackson Dart, draft Cortland Sutton, draft all of the good players so that way you can win your league in 2025. And if you want to get yourself an additional edge and you do want to sort of like up your research game, you really want to dive into the numbers, you can do that with a subscription to FTNFantasy.com. Once again, you can use the promo code CROSSING for 10% off of an annual subscription. That is going to do it for this episode. My name is Herms. He is Tyler O. And we will talk to you again on Thursday. Adios. Staying up.